Kent Harriff, Benediction, 2014. The Colorado of the Mind and the posters is all peaks and picturesque ski lodges, but if you ever drive into Colorado from the east, you may begin to wonder where they keep the Rockies. The slope of the plains rises imperceptibly, immense, monotonous, with an ugly little town now and then. The American West goes beyond all picturesqueness, and its sublimity is not superficial. One of those ugly little towns, Holt, was invented by the novelist Kent Harriff. Readers of his three novels, Plainsong, Eventide, and Benediction, know the place now, street by street, citizen by citizen. I find that Harriff's characters, like Pierre and Natasha or Huck Finn, inhabit my mind permanently. They're people I think about. Their conversation is dry and plain, with an easy Western cadence, and the author's narration is the same. The absence of quotation marks around speech gently emphasizes this continuity. It is a restrained voice, a quiet music. The passions of the people of Holt, many of them loners by nature, subject to the repressive conventionality of small-town America, and all the restraints of poverty, ignorance, and relentless hard work, break through sometimes in violence, sometimes in acts or attempted acts of outreaching compassion. The violence is common in novels at present, the compassion less so. Harriff handles human relationships with fierce, reticent delicacy, exploring rage, fidelity, pity, honor, timidity, the sense of obligation. He deals with complex, barely stated moral issues, pushing perhaps towards an unspoken mysticism. Occasionally he risks sentimentality, and once or twice I think falls into it, but in the Holt novels as a whole, his courage and achievement in exploring ordinary forms of love, the enduring frustration, the long cost of loyalty, the comfort of daily affection, are unsurpassed by anything I know in contemporary fiction. Benediction is best read as what it is, the third of three novels linked by some recurrence of characters, but chiefly by the extraordinary presence of the town and its countryside, built up incrementally, detail by detail, in each book. They are three different stories, but they have cumulative power. The story of Benediction, like its title, suggests closure. But life in Holt is going to go right on, for the sense of continuity in time is as strong as the sense of location in place. The earlier books supplied vivid action and some more conventionally Western doings, such as a scene in Eventide of moving range bulls out of a corral. That scene, ending in the death of an old man, carries a shock like the last sentence of the Waterloo chapter in Vanity Fair. Benediction is quieter. In it, too, an old man dies, but it's a long drawn-out death, and Dad Lewis isn't a cattle rancher, just a shopkeeper. He owns the hardware store in Holt. He's not likable, not very interesting, a narrow, grouchy old guy dying of cancer. Memoirs and fictions relating the relentless course of a disease or a dementia are legion these days, and the dismal familiarities are all here. But Dad Lewis's dying reveals not only the banality and humility of physical suffering, but an unusually open, daylight approach to mystery and a humor so dry it's almost ether. There's unfinished business on Dad's conscience. His ghosts, his dead parents, his lost son, come and sit on wooden chairs by his bed and talk with him. They're all just as ornery as he is. His father, an old hardscrabble Kansas farmer, says to him, "Well, you sure got you a real fine, nice big house here. You done all right that way, didn't you? This is a real nice, big, pleasing, satisfying house you got here."
"I worked for it," Dad said.
"Well, sure, of course. I know," the old man said. "Had some luck, too, I believe."
"I had some luck, but I worked hard. I earned it."
"Yeah, sure. Most people work hard.
It's not only that now, is it? You had you some luck. God damn it, I had some luck too, Dad said, but I earned the luck. His bitter, inconclusive conversations with his son, who may or may not be dead, Dad doesn't know, though he refuses the possibility, reveal the all-too-ordinary tragedy of their relationship. Inexpressible love, unattainable forgiveness. Dad Lewis wrestles with his ghosts, as Jacob with the angel, trying grimly, vainly, not to let them go until they bless him. The narrative circles out from and back to this central figure, weaving a complex, rich texture of sub-stories, personalities, generations. Harif writes about girls and women with tenderness and without idealization, as individuals. He has an unjudgmental sympathy with the agonies of adolescence and an unblinking eye for coarseness and hypocrisy. His skill at showing affectionate non-sexual relationships and at describing the relation of parents and children from the point of view of both is as uncommon as it is welcome. Harif is, in fact, a stunningly original writer in a great many ways. The quality of his originality goes right under the radar of much conventional criticism. He doesn't posture or raise his voice. He talks quietly, intimately, yet with reserve, as one adult to another. He's careful to get the story right. And it is right. It's just right. It rings true.